a single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, "Any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together, but it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade."
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings in World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you're on the 8th floor, you work for the City Housing Department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the Corporation Counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh, I said, "This is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here."
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the 6th floor before an explosion blew them back up to the 8th floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
"For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse."
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
"If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking treasonous exposition."
"This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure this one you ever get to the bottom of it."
"We have to, or we can't save our country, sir."
"I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, I don't think.
There's a problem. It's a 30-year-old conspiracy."
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
"I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse."
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
"I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things of that nature, to go in there as soon as they possibly can."
What ties these threads together is the persistent whisper that 9/11's full story.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here, and we are happy that you're here with us. A lot happening over the weekend. A lot happening over the weekend. We're going to be diving into on today's show, so buckle up for that one. It's going to be a good one. As many of you guys know, there were more documents unearthed in that Epstein file dump. A lot going on there. Also, a lot of big things happening today in regards to Epstein. As many of you guys know, today, Ghislaine Maxwell is going to be testifying. It's front of a, well, actually, it's a closed door deposition, and it's virtual since she's in prison. She will be doing a virtual deposition today with members of Congress. She'll be meeting amongst those will be obviously the chairman, James Comer, and others. Now, interesting enough, and we'll dive into the details in a bit, she's expected to plead the fifth, and I'll get into that in just a few moments. Before we do, I also want to tell you all what we got coming up ahead of the show. First, let's look at the president's agenda for an example. That's the, probably the best place to start. The president is, he's got a light morning today. Nothing on the agenda for this morning, but in the afternoon, he's expected to have a TV interview at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Then later at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, there will be a policy meeting that he will be participating with in. But we got our eyes on a couple of really important topics, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But specifically, the UK right now, obviously the Epstein files have imploded for many, specifically those who try to lie and hide their ties to Epstein. Matthew Marsden will be joining us later in the show today, in the second hour of the program. Matthew's going to be detailing specifically for us what I think is actually really, really important here, and that's the ramifications for the latest dump, what it means to those in the UK right now, because a lot of people are calling for the Prime Minister in the UK to resign, but the next runner-up for that position, not someone you want, not someone you want. Matthew Mars will be joining us in a little bit to discuss just that. We'll also be discussing the latest, obviously, document dumps, but it's not going to end there. We also have more coming about. Mike Benz actually did a really good interview with Joe Rogan last week, and something very important that I'm going to point out to you as well in that Mike Benz interview, plus Tulsi Gabbard under attack. As many of you guys know, the deep state operatives do not like Tulsi Gabbard. They don't like the fact that she's digging in for the truth. They don't like the fact that she's going to uncover the election fraud that we all knew was taking place from the very beginning. And they're going after her. There's a lot of fake news reports that are being posted online, a lot of unverified sources, and they're trying to uppercut everything that she's doing over at National Intelligence. I'll bring you the latest on that fight right there, because that's a big one. That's a big one. Also, I mean, you guys all know it, but Democrats are still trying to push back against voter ID. Even though the vast majority of Americans, even Democrats, do support voter ID. The interesting part here is it's so bad that even Democrats have to say that, yeah, we actually don't support the lefties, the far lefties agenda to not have voter ID. We actually agree. It makes sense to have voter ID. So I'll cover that for you as well. There's also a new group of left-wing racists that need to be on your radar, because these are just evil human beings. People talking about, you know, how the United States has imported the third world brown people who have, specifically Indians and Middle Eastern is what they're alluding to in this soundbite, are going to outbreed us. And most importantly, marry Western women. Plus, there's another Democrat in, I wouldn't even call him a Democrat, I'd call him just a straight up communist in Texas, who obviously caught a lot of people's attention over the weekend. because he too is another racist. But there's a lot there about this individual I don't think most people even know, especially because he is one of those many CCP. I mean, you could just say he's probably a CCP operative at this point, because he's not from this country. He is from China. He was born in China. But we've allowed him to run for office here in the United States. I don't know why we keep doing this to ourselves and then wondering why we have the same results of hateful people in our political sphere. People that hate this country are running for office. We've done it to ourselves. We could get rid of these people pretty quickly, given the fact that they are in line with the communist movement. But for some reason, we just don't do it. We don't do it. I'll also bring the latest on the MAHA movement. RFK Jr. just recently is discussing how food is literally killing us. And he's detailing specifically how our enemies are looking to do just that. Our adversaries are looking to do just that. Plus, also, Democrats are really worried right now that we're going to become a surveillance state. No, seriously, it's happening. It's happening. They've gone fringe. They're just jumping off the cliff these days. They're worried that ICE is going to be using their photo images, running their biometrics, and they're worried that we're going to become a massive surveillance state. We've been talking about this for years now. They didn't care because it worked towards their advantage, but now they care because it's really going to infect their ICE, their anti-ICE terrorists, and that's the reason why they're pushing back on that front. We'll also be talking about some crazy, crazy stories in regards to Virginia. Virginia is just going downhill rapidly. This is why elections have consequences. Virginia, it's running for the lead blue state right now. I mean, it's pretty, pretty bad in Virginia. We'll tell you about the new push to go after those who dare spew hate speech, because freedom of speech is a threat to them. And we'll discuss just that. Also, President Trump, there's this fake hoax that's going out there again. And they always do this, right? They're always like, oh, President Trump is a racist. Look, I can't believe he shared this video. Well, President Trump is actually responding to what the claims are all about. Plus, people like Tim Scott, most people, okay, has South Carolina ever given us a good politician? We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't think so. Tim Scott fell for it, and he's out here pushing the propaganda. Crybaby, crybaby, who's obviously trying to run in 2028. But man, oh man, is this man an embarrassment to himself, now to his alleged wife and others. We'll dive into that in a little bit. So a lot happening over here. Buckle up. We'll also be taking your calls later in the show as well. So let's kick things off appropriately. First things first, we got to get into the Epstein files, because as many of you guys know, more information. I mean, there's so many documents being dumped online. It's a matter of sifting through it, figuring out what's real, what's fake, what to believe in. InfoWars has just put together a new report, and I wanted you guys all to take a listen to this. This has to do with fascinating ties that might actually show some type of correlation. Take a listen to this in the latest report up on InfoWars.
Morning at 1:47 a.m., the doorbell camera disconnects. At 2:12 a.m., software detects a person on a camera, but there's no video available. 2:28, Nancy's pacemaker app shows that it was a disconnect from the phone. And at 11:56 a.m., the family checks on Nancy and discovers her missing.
In the shadowy underbelly of elite power plays, the abduction of Nancy Guthrie, mother of NBC's Today Show darling, Savannah Guthrie, screams of something far more sinister than a random crime, snatched from her Tucson home in the dead of night, with blood splatters at the scene and her essentials left behind. The 84-year-old widow's disappearance has law enforcement scrambling.
And it's important that my partners in law enforcement know and understand their roles, because it is very large, complex investigation.
What follows is not an attack on the Guthrie family. They are merely questions regarding overlooked possible connections to the Guthrie family and the rumblings of panic behind the scenes of an elite reeling with the damage compounding due to the recently released Epstein files.
When a group of people who've experienced trauma of this kind come together united against a common enemy. There's a very special bond between us all.
Marika Shartouni, Anushka DiGiorgio, and Rachel K. Benavidez sharing their stories about Epstein for the first time on television.
I think the nature of this kind of abuse means that you're conditioned to be silent, to be isolated, secretive, and shameful.
And you're like, I'm just not going to say anything because that's what he told me to do.
Behind the scenes, Savannah's husband, Michael Feldman, isn't just some PR suit. He's a deep state operator with 8 years in the Clinton-Gore White House, serving as Al Gore's traveling chief of staff and a key congressional liaison for Bill Clinton himself. Begging the question, is this payback from the Clinton machine's endless web of scandals? Feldman's tentacles run deep into the globalist swamp, co-founding the Glover Park Group, a D.C. political consulting powerhouse. This firm pops up in the Epstein files, linking straight to Epstein's network of influence peddlers. The timing is impeccable. Just as the Clintons are hauled before Congress on February 26th and 27th to spill their Epstein ties, this kidnapping erupts. Coincidence or a desperate warning shot from the shadows to keep mouths shut?
According to internal State Department memos, the agency might have called off or intervened in investigation into possibly illegal and inappropriate behavior within its ranks, allegedly to protect jobs and avoid scandals. This concerns the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State.
Good morning, Savannah. You know, there's an old saying in Washington that the cover-up is worse than the crime. But in this case, both parts of it are disturbing. Allegations of prostitution and pedophilia, and allegations that those crimes were somehow covered up or not looked into. So the State Department this morning is having to respond to those claims and those investigations of misconduct by State Department officials, including by an ambassador and security agents attached to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
We've offered flexibility on scheduling. We've tried to accommodate. The response we received was not cooperation, but defiance. Repeated delays, excuses, and obstruction. The Clintons had documented relationships with Epstein and Maxwell, including President Clinton's trips with Epstein and Maxwell, evidenced by numerous photographs, flight log records, wedding invitations, and other materials. We repeatedly informed the Clintons' attorneys that a written statement would not be sufficient. The subpoenas required a deposition.
With Feldman's Glover Park Clinton cleanup crew entangled in this mess, and Nancy Guthrie's fate hanging in the balance, America awakens to the real threat, a cabal where kidnappings, cover-ups, and child exploitation are just business as usual. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Now, as many of you guys know, her mother is still missing. FBI is on board trying to help find her. But again, we don't have any updates into all of that. The case is quite strange. But I thought that was a really great report that we have up right now on band.video. Definitely check that out, too, because we've done a bunch of incredible reporting on InfoWars.com as well. But let's get into some of the latest in regards to what's happening today. Like I told you, obviously, Ghislaine Maxwell will be giving her deposition. It's a virtual deposition that she's going to be providing the Judiciary Committee with. Now, expect there to be some information uncovered here, but probably not much. And that's because, well, many are expecting Ghislaine Maxwell not to speak. They actually expect her to plead the fifth. That's according to Congressman Ro Khan. As many of you guys know, that's the Democrat in California who's been leading the way in making sure that these Epstein files are made public. Well, he sent over this letter yesterday, or over the weekend, I should say, to James Comer, who is the chairman of that committee. Now, he's outlining the fact that he knows that she's going to invoke her fifth and that she's not going to want to talk about, according to him, of course, not going to want to talk about anything related to Epstein or President Donald Trump. Now, obviously, we've talked about it. We've reported on this show. Ghislaine Maxwell is trying to angle herself for a pardon. And that's probably why, if this is true, she would do that. Why would you want to give all this information? And if you're someone in her situation, obviously, she is a human trafficker. She is a, well, human trafficker, allegedly, we should say, because nobody's been arrested. I mean, she's apparently trafficking children, but we don't know to who. Isn't that strange? But here's the problem here. She obviously wants to be freed from prison. And so now she's trying her very best to play her hand in all of this. You could expect that she's not going to be speaking. Why would you speak when the price that you expect the government to pay is your freedom? Your freedom. And we know that's what she's angling for, according to those who have spoken to her attorneys. Now, when it comes to all of this, obviously we'll keep our eye and see when those deposition recordings do drop, because that will be quite the fascinating new document or audio version for me to dive into. But the reality of it is we don't expect much. We heard her interviews with Todd Blanche, and there really wasn't much there. But we are learning more and more from the documents that have been released thus far. And it's really hard to figure out what's real, what's fake. Because after a document gets posted online, I've got to search, and it takes hours, it takes days. But we're digging. There's a lot there right now. I want to get into the first document so far. This one dropped yesterday. I think it's insane. This document comes from the Southern District of New York. And the reason why this is so important is because you have to check out the date on this document. Now, what do I mean by that? This is what I mean by that. This, what appears to be a press release drafted up by the Southern District of New York, could be a clerical mistake. But it says for the immediate release on Friday, August 9, 2019. Now, Jeffrey Epstein, according to the records, didn't actually kill himself until the 10th of August. So keep that in mind. This one specifically outlining how they found Jeffrey Epstein dead, saying that he was pronounced dead after he was discovered in his cell, unresponsive. Today's events are disturbing, and we are deeply aware of the potential. Obviously, this hurdle is what caused. Total baloney. But folks, is it just a clerical error? Whoops, I mistakenly thought today was the 9th? Or was this a pre-drafted press release? Again, more questions than answers. And interesting enough, too, this is the email that's getting a lot of people fired up right now. There was an email that was made public, and specifically this email, well, it's interesting because it was sent in 2025, March 17th, 2025. It looks like somebody over at the FBI field office in New York sent out an email in regards to the Epstein files being released. Now, the concerning part in all of this is they're hashing out what should be redacted and what shouldn't be redacted. And specifically in this email, it looks to say that obviously, we all strongly back this, that redaction should include obviously the victims in photos, unknown or unidentified with females and males, which is strange, and former U.S. President, Secretary of State, and other celebrities. Ain't that something? Now, we did see that one image, and they didn't cover up Bill Clinton's face in that jacuzzi pool photograph. But we keep hearing that they are trying to block pieces of information, that a lot of the redacted information isn't of victims. It's actually of high-up officials. Whether or not that's true, well, we'll find out soon. And you know why we're going to find out soon? Because members of Congress are now going to be given the opportunity to go and look at the Epstein files unredacted themselves. So people like Congressman Thomas Massey, who obviously, you know, has been advocating for a lot of this. I know a lot of people believe that it's politically motivated on Massey's part, but according to his own tweets, he's actually going to be making his way today to look at those unredacted Epstein files. And technically, I mean, if Thomas Massey didn't want to be sued, but wanted to out what he found, he could definitely go to the congressional floor, the House floor, and outline those accusations. I'm pretty sure, now I'm not an attorney, but I'm pretty sure if he makes those claims on the House floor, that he has immunity from defamation claims. But he's claiming he's going there. Now, he's also asking the public to let him know what you want to know about specifically, and to send in what files you want to make sure he looks over. Now, obviously, he knows what he's doing. I don't doubt whether or not he knows what documents he's specifically searching for. But there's been so much put out there that we need to know about. There was even that email that just said 10 years old. Now, obviously, we know that Jeffrey Epstein's a pedophile, so when you see that, your heart sinks immediately. But what is that in reference to? Who is that 10-year-old? And they redacted the email address, too. That was a part of that conversation. Again, why? Well, the DOJ is claiming that this is a victim. Well, members of Congress should shuffle on over there to see if it's actually a victim. Now, again, I don't really trust politicians, but I also don't trust the DOJ. And there's so much I'm going to be diving into regarding Epstein over the next hour. So buckle up. There's a lot ahead in this one. But man, oh man, there was also this report that's really crazy. Apparently, he purchased 330 gallons of sulfuric acid. He purchased it back in 2018, it looks like, according to this document. Now, as many of you guys know, that's something that could actually be used to dispose of bodies. That's deeply concerning. You know, when we had, on my show, when we had human trafficking experts, they were talking about the organ angle to all of this, the organ harvesting angle to all of this. One of them outlined that that's how they were disposing the bodies of children after they harvested their organs. Now, when you look at that, piece of document that was posted online, it also has, according to another document, it was the same day another investigation was opened into Epstein. So obviously this could all be coincidental, but I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that this is an evil man who's doing evil things. We'll get into the other reports, but just are absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Including allegations that there was a human incubator. And ultimately, folks, those allegations are really, I mean, this is probably one of the worst ones I've seen thus far, where young girls were getting pregnant and they were taking their children. I'll give you the details on that too. We're talking about a bunch of sick human beings. You can't tell me over these 3 million documents you've just put out there that there's nothing that could be criminally charged. Folks, the DOJ, FBI right now, you can't sit there and continue to do this to us. We're not stupid. We know that there's more there. I'm going to dive into all of the details, though, because there's more, especially with Howard Lutnick. As many of you guys know, he is the Commerce Secretary right now. But looks like Howard was not very honest with the American people. And we're going to dive into those details in just a little bit. This is the problem with everyone who's associated with Jeffrey Epstein. They sit there and tell you, oh, no. We were doing business prior to me even knowing any of this. But when you look at the dates, shortly after Epstein was a known pedophile because he was convicted, they all still were trying to do business deals with him. They were all still working with him. Folks, before we get into those details, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because last week we did something very, very exciting over at thealexjonesstore.com. We launched our very brand new electrolyte drink mix. Now, as many of you guys know, Optimal Human Hydration is our new one that we just launched. It's the electrolyte drink mix, which includes French sea salt. It's 20 stick packs. So these are incredible because there's zero sugar in any of this. And it's going to help increase your energy. It's also going to reduce brain fog. This is something that I tell everyone you need to start your day off with every single day. Your electrolytes is something that you definitely need. And it's a reasonable price. When you subscribe, it's about $1.25 a serving. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag this. Again, that's thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be back with more.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it. RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up a pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultra Methylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because... It's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Monday, everyone. A little bit of a crazy weekend, a lot to uncover in regards to Epstein. So we're going to be dedicating the first hour to going through all of the information that's come out in regards to just that. So buckle up, more to discuss. As many of you guys know, we're keeping our eye out to see if anything happens in regards to Ghislaine Maxwell, who is expected to give her deposition today to the Judiciary Committee. It's going to be specifically the Epstein file one, I believe. So that is the one that we're going to keep our eye on. Again, it's virtual, so we won't get anything from that until probably a couple of weeks after the fact. I believe the last one we got back, it took them at least 2 weeks before they put it out publicly. So you could expect there to be a bit of a delay, but... Again, as I outlined in the beginning of the show, we think that she's going to plead the fifth in a lot of this because she doesn't want to give up too much information without getting an agreement because she is fishing for a pardon from President Donald Trump. So we'll keep our eye on all things related to that. But there's a lot of really, really key information that's making its way to the surface that I expect everyone to want to buckle down and make sure that they know about. Specifically, we're hearing these allegations about Howard Lutnick. Now, as many of you guys know, he is the Commerce Secretary right now for President Trump. He's an individual who has denied a lot of the accusations that have floated around about him in the past. Now, here's the thing, right? There hasn't been much in the way of hard, concrete evidence to link him up to Epstein post the fact when he was convicted pedophile. So a lot of people have been able to get away with, well, I didn't know who Epstein was when taking certain meetings. But the reason why there are calls for Lutnick to resign today is because there's now emails that are being released. And it's quite the interesting set of emails. Now, Jeffrey Epstein Center, obviously the new released documents, reveal that Lutnick maintained far more of an extensive and prolonged contact with Epstein than he previously claimed. This is according to one report. Lutnick, at one point, was apparently neighbors with Epstein in New York City and publicly stated that in the 2025 interview, saying that Epstein was disgusting during a home visit, vowing to never be in the same room again with this individual. Now, however, according to reports, the files show an ongoing communication between the businessman and Epstein. Now, there are emails going back and forth that time down about 2012. Now, again, it doesn't make sense because based on Lutnick's previous comments, he no longer wanted to even deal with Epstein after seeing how disgusting the man was. So this is conflating, right? This is, you got two people out here right now. Well, actually, you only have one. You have Jeffrey Epstein's emails that continue to speak for him. And you have all of these top people saying, no, 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 I had no relations with him. Once I found out what an evil, disgusting man Jeffrey Epstein was. Now, obviously, we could all agree that Jeffrey Epstein was an evil man. I don't see really anyone disputing that. But the simple fact that a lot of these individuals knew that Epstein was a pedophile, right? He was convicted. And they still decided to do business deals with them. Last week, we told you about Bill Gates. Bill Gates, another one. Bill Gates trying to put, oh, I just wanted money for my global health efforts. One of the richest men in the world, and he's begging for spare change from Jeffrey Epstein. Are you supposed to believe that? Well, yes, I hope you do. But the reality is that's not what happened. Come on. And as I mentioned, obviously, Lutnick not really getting a... He's not really getting anyone to jump on his side right now. People are very, very upset about this because they've had enough of the lies and the nonsense. Yesterday in clip one, you're going to hear Congressman Thomas Massey call Lutnick out, and now he's calling for him to resign. Take a listen.
What questions do you have about Lutnick's ties to Epstein, and should he come before Congress and testify?
No, he should just resign. I mean, there are three people in Great Britain that have resigned in politics. The ambassador from Great Britain to the United States. The prince lost his title for less than what we've seen Howard Lutnick lie about. Look, Howard Lutnick clearly went to the island, if we believe what's in these files. He was in business with Jeffrey Epstein. And this was many years after Jeffrey Epstein was convicted, you know, lightly sentenced, but was convicted for sexual crimes. So he's got a lot to answer for, but really he should make life easier on the president, frankly, and just resign. If this were Great Britain, he'd already be gone.
Yeah, we'll be diving into what's happening in the UK in a little bit too with my good friend Matthew Marsden. He'll be jumping on to discuss that. But Thomas Massey's right. He should resign. He should resign. Because can the American people trust him? Well, the answer is obviously no. These emails are legitimate, which they seem to be. You owe us an explanation. I'm so fed up with these people going out there and lying to the American people, thinking that we weren't going to find out. You sent emails, sir. How did you not think that the American people weren't going to see this? Yeah, you could give him some leniency. There are some slip-ups, but the reality of it is the American people see through this. And there's also another report. And again, Elon Musk has been very outspoken, in fact, screaming that he wants the Epstein files released. And so this one is a head scratcher for me. This is the New York Post also outlining this. A newly released photo from the DOJ's Epstein files show Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg seated at a dinner table in 2015 in California with Epstein. The dinner was hosted by none other than LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman. Reid Hoffman's a BFF over there. So again, just more people being dumped into all of this. Now, obviously, This doesn't mean that Elon Musk or even Zuckerberg are pedophiles, but it's disturbing given the fact that his conviction, again, was in 2008. This photo allegedly comes from 2015. Meta has stated that Zuckerberg met Epstein only in passing, by the way. They said it happened at a scientist-focused dinner, not organized by him, and never communicated with him afterwards. Elon Musk, just to be fair and balanced here, Elon Musk has also denied any close ties or being introduced or introducing anyone to Epstein. And he's denied any type of visits to Epstein Island. So again, I mean, again, and this is my thing. I've always said this. People are going to get wrapped into it. Their names are going to get dropped. Doesn't mean that they were actually one of the pedophiles. But again, and I'm going to keep walking us through all of this. But again, here's the problem with all of this. And this is my big point. We have victims. And I played that clip for you guys months ago of the victims coming out and saying, you know what? The DOJ is not going to put out a list. We're going to put out our own list. I would love to see that list. We have surviving Epstein victims. Let's hear the names of the individuals you're going to accuse of sexual assault. Folks, I'm just so tired of us playing this tug of war game. Like, maybe they might give us some names. Maybe they won't. We have a list. We don't have a list. There's over 2 million pages, 2 million documents that are being dumped on all of us. You could create a list from that. There's no way you're telling me that given the digital footprint that this man left behind, you can't find at least 3 or 4 people who were out there raping children with him. You can't tell us who those people are? See, this is why the American people still do not trust the DOJ, the FBI, none of these agencies, because, well, they're playing along. And when you think about it, it's actually pretty genius, right? The deep state used some of the most trustworthy conservative voices, pulled them in through the FBI, DOJ, and other entities, and have now had them out there saying everything about the Epstein stuff that you're hearing is true. But those are the people that were the biggest doubters before they were sworn into their positions. When you think about it, it's actually quite genius. Because a lot of these key individuals, they didn't receive much in the way of pushback. So whether that's me just downplaying their involvement in all of this and trying to pretend, I mean, I'm not trying to pretend anything, but it might sound like I'm trying to downplay their involvement in all of this. Think about it. I mean, some of the top people who you and I have listened to over the years are now they're going along with the Epstein narrative. Now, does this mean that it's very deep, it's very dark, and anyone who gets close to the truth will be suicided? Will have their lives ruined, their family's lives ruined? Maybe that's why everyone gets in line. Maybe they're giving us the truth, but gut tells me no. So it's truly just infuriating. But I think it highlights the bigger issue here. And the bigger issue here is they're not telling us the truth because there's a reason for that. This one tore at my heart. I've heard the accusations of these young underage girls giving birth and their babies being pulled from their arms shortly after giving birth. But according to the latest documents, a teenager who's accusing obviously Jeffrey Epstein of sexual assault alleged in a diary entry around 2002 that while she was 16 or 17 years old, she was used as a human incubator to carry and give birth to a secret baby girl with Ghislaine Maxwell present. Now, this was all a part of their plans to create this type of superior gene pool, which obviously nobody wants any part in. Now, again, this breaks my heart because you don't know what happened to that little girl. The newborn was apparently snatched from her minutes after giving birth. Her pleas to keep and feed the child remain unverified with no confirmed evidence that Epstein ever fathered a child with this victim. Folks, we have a massive issue here. You can't sit here and tell me that there's no... Who sat there and helped her give birth? Obviously, Ghislaine Maxwell would know about that. Yeah, okay. Wouldn't really trust her. Probably try to save face on that one. But there's got to be doctors in that room. Who are those doctors? We've even seen the code words that his own doctors were using. There's a disgusting email of one of his doctors talking about giving him ED medication. And then again, alluding to catching up to get, I believe it was an email with pizza and grape soda, if I'm not mistaken. So obviously, folks, this is all really just infuriating. This evil must be significantly worse than what we already know. You know, Mike Benz, good friend of mine, good friend of folks here at InfoWars too. We truly do love and appreciate what Mike Benz does, but he does an incredible job of digging into the truth on all of these issues. And he has been pretty accurate on a lot. And he sat down last week with Joe Rogan. I've been trying to sift through a lot of it. It's hard for me to buckle down and listen to hours and hours of content. But when it's Mike Benz speaking, I could listen to him for hours. He does an incredible job. But he recently did a really good piece, and he's floating a lot of important ideas in regards to the latest document dump that has just been made. Take a listen to clip two and his discussion with Joe Rogan.
The point I'm getting to here is, given Jeffrey Epstein's involvement in the BCCI network, given Jeffrey's involvement in the 1990s with all the foreign policy activities happening in the Middle East at that time, given Jeffrey Epstein's involvement through the early 2000s Clinton era and everything, given his involvement in everything from Israeli to Saudi to British to French high-level government officials, Jeffrey Epstein was investigated by the SEC in the 1980s. He was one of the two people who ran the biggest Ponzi scheme in history at the time in the United States, the Towers Financial Collapse. Epstein's business partner goes to jail for like 30 years or 20 years or whatever. But Epstein skates completely free. Epstein gets involved in this huge fraud in the U.S. Virgin Islands with this, billion-dollar fraud case in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Never prosecuted for any of it. Why is that? Well, one is, he may have we know in the U.S. Virgin Islands case, he was sponsoring the campaigns, basically, of the politicians there. The prosecutor's answer to the politicians. Could be that. But I would be shocked if there, in 40 years of this Where's Waldo, Forrest Gump, he's always in the room, in 40 years of American foreign policy and intelligence activity, money sourcing for, that for all the crimes that Epstein committed, the concern was the same one they had with Rolando Masfer. Don't bring the case, and if you do, bring it in a highly limited way. And that's exactly what happened in 2006, the first time he was indicted. Everybody was up in arms that it was a sweetheart plea deal. It gave protection to all co-conspirators, known and unknown. And it was swooped in quickly before, there was a trial in full, so that lines of evidence couldn't be opened about the network.
Isn't that something, folks? That is an incredible two and a half hours interview that Mike Benz did with Joe Rogan. You got to check it out later in the day when you're, just sitting around your house. Definitely listen in on that, because Mike Benz does an incredible job of breaking down the latest in regards to the Epstein file dump. And so we look forward to playing more of his content, of course. All right, folks, Democrats. They're all fraudsters. But again, and I just don't want to put all the attention on them. But the reality of it is I'm going to focus on them for a second, because, their own voters understand that voter ID is an important issue, except those who are being elected. Now, those politicians don't like voter ID. Well, because we could just assume at this point that they're stealing their elections, that they're stealing their local elections. And so the reality of it is people like, I get so angry. The New Yorker in me. Hakeem Jeffries is a scumbag. And Hakeem Jeffries loves to sit out there and pretend like voter ID is somehow discrimination. They're not stopping that talking point. In clip three, he does just that. Take a listen.
Now, I understand you don't support things like a passport, for example. But requiring basic ID in order to vote is really popular. A Pew poll from a few months ago showed 83% of Americans, including 71% of your fellow Democrats, support requiring an ID to vote. Why are they wrong?
I haven't said that they're wrong. We know that states are the ones who are empowered to conduct elections, and every state should be allowed to decide the best way to proceed to ensure that there's a free and fair election. Here in New York, there are, in fact, voter identification requirements. The question is that what Republicans are trying to do is to engage in clear and blatant voter suppression.
Ah, voter suppression, because minorities and women are too stupid to get IDs. You know, our little brains can't handle it, that we actually cannot show ID when voting. No, that's garbage. That's garbage. Well, no, that's the reason why they did their very best to infiltrate millions of illegal aliens into our country and to put them strategically in red districts. If you're wondering why you're in the Midwest and all of a sudden there's Muhammad everywhere when you're trying to pick an Uber ride, the reason why they've done all of this is because these are the future voters for Democrats. They are trying to flip red districts. And they did that successfully, honestly, because there was very little pushback. Too many Republicans are too afraid of being called racist by calling out the nonsense that was happening in this country. They wanted to drown out your vote. And they did just that by bringing the invaders straight into your communities. I mean, they see it popping up everywhere. In Ohio, I was so surprised. I'm in Ohio. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I'm just trying to get an Uber driver to pick me up. No one speaks English. No one. Foreigners everywhere. The local jail, because they did a story in the local jail when I was reporting for Steven Crowder's show. A lot of those were foreigners as well. In fact, they actually use a portion of their jail to house the illegal aliens for ICE. And this is in Ohio. This is in a small community. Folks, this is the reason why they're arguing against voter ID. They don't want you to really realize what's going on here. And it's getting so bad, obviously. The vast majority of Americans truly do support voter ID. I believe the last number we saw was like 83% of Americans support. And that's both Democrats, independents, and minority voters, that they support voter ID laws. The majority of Americans support this. So the only people that would actually push against this are, you know, the treasonous pigs who are stealing our elections. And we'll get into their efforts in a little bit, too, to infiltrate through the election machines. But things are so bad. I never thought in a million years, if you would have been like, Brianna, I'm going to give you a list of Dems. Which one do you think is going to be the most logical Democrat in 4 years from now? I would have never said John Fetterman. John Fetterman is by far one of the most logical Democrats they have on the left. Now, it could be the simple fact that Pennsylvania, obviously, can't run too far left. But even he has to side with the voter ID. He knows that this is something that the vast majority of Americans truly do support. And clip four, he does just that. Take a listen.
As a Democrat, I do not believe that it's unreasonable or to show ID just to vote. And I remind everybody that less than a year ago in Wisconsin, you know, they added that to the Constitution by a 63%, you know, passing to put that in the Constitution that you have to show ID to vote. And they also elected a very, very liberal justice into their Supreme Court. So it's not a radical idea for regular Americans to show your ID to vote. And it's absolutely, those things are not Jim Crow or anything. Of course, that's part of an awful, awful legacy of our nation for so, so long ago. But where we are now, trying to find a way forward, just trying to call balls and strikes, seeing what's unreasonable, hopefully we don't have to do, and pay the TSA people and everyone, secure our border, and focus on deporting all of those kinds of criminals, wherever right. They are. That's the guy that votes for that and supports that as a Democrat. And I don't ever want to vote to shut our government down again.
Right. And you are very much where the people are. Look, that's what most people would like to see. Prioritize the criminals. Take the criminals out of the country who are here illegally but are also committing crime. But, I mean, is there any other way to view the fact that Democrat leadership refused to have ID to vote? Is there any other way to read it other than they want illegals to vote? I mean, can you read it any other way?
Well, I mean, for me, the Save Act is not going to pass because of the filibuster, because they would need at least 7 or 8 Democratic votes to pass that. And now remember also, all the Democrats, all we wanted to eliminate the filibuster, except right. for it was Manchin and Sinema. They wanted to eliminate the filibuster, and now our party loves the filibuster. And then I do think we, you know, think the filibuster is a good thing, and it does force us to work together overall.
Right. Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
But I will say this as a Democrat, I do not believe it's radical or extreme to just produce ID to vote overall.
Exactly. All right.
So it's common sense. It's common sense. If you're not trying to actively steal our elections, then you would get that. You would get that. But, you know, those looking to steal our elections don't want you knowing the truth in regards to that. Folks, earlier this morning, Ed Martin posted something, and I think it's worth your attention. Ed Martin is the pardon attorney for President Trump. He was also running the weaponization group over at the DOJ before he was quickly shut down. Now, according to my sources, and I'm still sticking with them, Ed Martin posted this. All this chatter about Todd Blanchard and me is fake news. I'm proud to work for President Donald Trump with Pam and Todd for a historic year of Trump. Hold on a second, folks. This is not what my sources tell me. Is Ed Martin trying to play safe with Todd Blanche because Todd Blanche is gunning for him? Likely. That's what my gut tells me on this one. What does it also tell me? It also tells me that I know for a fact what's happening behind the scenes. I mean, I know it for a fact. I know that for a fact that there are people on Todd Blanche's team trying to plant bad information over at CNN. Because CNN got that exclusive that they broke saying that Ed Martin was on the way out. So while we talk about the details, I mean, he's obviously trying to highlight and try to bring back the attention, Ed Martin. And I don't blame him. Ed Martin's a great person. Try to bring back the attention towards President Trump's victories because you don't want to distract from that. And I get that. But the distraction is not being created by people who are trying to debunk the bad reports that are coming out by Todd Blanche's team. That's not our fault. Now, maybe Todd Blanche and members of his team should probably stop talking to members of the media. What do you guys know? Blanche even met with Caitlin Collins prior to taking on this position. So he's very, very cozy with those over at CNN. So although Ed Martin's telling you we're good, are you really? Are they really? It's more like the question. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Last week, we launched these new electrolyte drink mixes. You got to try them out for yourself. There are these hydration packets. They are an incredible way to start your day every day over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's about $1.25 a serving when you subscribe, so do just that.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes into the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine.
trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
The poor,